To my knowledge, we are setting podcasting history. Coming to you from the engine cowling inside one of those beautiful Canyon Blue Southwest Airlines jets, you're listening to Red Belly Radio. That's right, folks. I am standing in the engine cowl. I'm not standing in it. I'm standing near in front of it, and I'm leaning into it. I'm only a foot or so away from the blades, and I am recording a special. It's coming to you from the Dallas Maintenance Facility. It's a special ceremony to commemorate Charles E. Taylor's pioneering efforts in aviation and also to celebrate all the people who work on our aircraft. Now, I know what you're thinking. Who's Charles Taylor? Well, frankly, I had to ask the same question. He's kind of like the fifth Beatle to Orville and Wilbur Wright, so I guess that makes him the third Wright brother. Okay, for real, he's not a Wright brother. Now, if you had the choice between working on bicycles and inventing the world's first airplanes, it would be understandable that the Wright brothers were probably spending more time on their gliders and flyers. So in 1901, Taylor was hired to fix bicycles at the Wright Cycle Company in Dayton, Ohio. And there came a point when Orville and Wilbur needed an engine for their plane, but they didn't have it couldn't be just any old gas engine. They needed a very specific power-to-weight ratio, and it was just simply not available. You know, it was around the turn of the century, and you couldn't just go down to the small engine, you know, small gas engine store and pick one up off the shelf. So Taylor designed and built the engine from scratch in only 6 weeks. It was a water-cooled cast aluminum block and crankcase, and the whole thing combined, the block and the crankcase, only weighed 152 pounds. Now, the Wrights needed an engine with at least 8 horsepower. That's what they specified. But the engine that Taylor built produced 12 horsepower. And that just makes me wonder if he had built the engine to spec, if with only 8 horsepower, if that would have gotten the famous Wright brothers plane off the ground. Anyway, Taylor became a leading mechanic for the Wright Aircraft Company after it was formed in 1909. So he was essentially the first aircraft mechanic ever. Okay, back to our ceremony. Now, one of our aircraft is being dedicated to Charles Taylor and will fly throughout May with a commemorative decal. Now, the aircraft's tail number is N289CT. Get it? Charles Taylor. Now, there's also a Charles Taylor Master Mechanic Award that recognizes a lifetime accomplishments of senior aviation mechanics. It's only given to master mechanics as the qualifications are really quite high. Master mechanic may be an understatement because candidates have to, one, have 50 years in aviation maintenance as an accredited mechanic or repairman, and two, be FAA certified mechanic or repairman for a minimum of 30 of those years. Now, Southwest Mechanics, who have received the FAA Charles Taylor Master Mechanic Award, were also honored today with a special plaque. Now, obviously, these mechanics were aviation mechanics before Southwest was an airline, since we have not been around even 50 years yet. Now, one of the odd things I've noticed about sitting in this engine cowling and recording from it is I was expecting some reverberation. And just the opposite is true. It seems to be a very dead area. The sound, now that I'm thinking about it, you know, sound is the movement of air, and sound is just going right through this thing. There's a very tiny perforation on the inside of the metal on the inside of the cowling, and then, of course, the blades, and then, shoop, right out the back. So this engine that pulls air through it so efficiently, of course, does the same with spoken word. And, oh, I guess I need to point out the engine is off. You know, off. Okay, so no matter how hard I try, whenever I go to one of these remote events, I always wind up having to do a drop-in from the Red Belly Radio Studios, also known as my desk. But before I go any further, a cowling is that big funnel thing that the jet engine sits in. It's attached to the wing, and it always makes for great photo ops. People sit in it, but to my knowledge, no one has ever podcast from it. Before the event started, I was able to speak with two of the Charles Taylor Master Award winners. Dick Fresnel received his award and worked at Southwest for 5 of those required 50 years. Where did you start working on aircraft?
Air Force.
Yeah, on jets or?
No, I'm a piston engine mechanic. And then I went to jets, and then from jets to intercontinental missiles.
Okay. That's beyond my understanding.
Well,
so.
It goes all the way through the regime for aerospace.
But you worked on Southwest aircraft for how long?
I'm a maintenance training instructor. So what I was doing was helping everybody work with the systems and understand the systems.
Well, thank you for talking with me. They're dragging you away even as we speak. I really wish I could have talked to Dick more. He seems like the kind of guy who just sort of has fun wherever he is. The next master mechanic that I spoke with was Reagan Rogers. Well, congratulations on the award. When did you receive this?
1998. Wow. So I've been retired.
So when did you start as an aircraft mechanic?
1948.
Forgive my youth, but when did the jet engine come around on aircraft, commercial aircraft?
Actually, your jet engine was developed during World War II, but the United States only started using it by 1946. I started out on old P-51s and DC-3s and DC-4s, Super Connies. Yeah.
Were you military trained?
I was military trained. I spent 6 years in the Air Force.
I then caught up with our president, Colleen Barrett, and got this comment.
I think there's nothing more appropriate than to honor Charles Taylor, who was a warrior in his own right. He would have been a perfect Southwest employee because he had all the characteristics we look for. And I think that in this day and time, with all the stresses of the industry, I mean, we've had former winners of this Charles Taylor Award, but I think it's great that we decided today was the day we were going to make it sort of official. To sort of represent all of our maintenance employees for their warrior spirit.
Starting off the presentation is Vice President Maintenance and Engineering, Jim Sokol.
We are here today to honor Charles E. Taylor. Charles Taylor was the first aircraft mechanic. He literally designed the engine for the Wright Brothers' first flight in 1903. Charles Taylor did everything, and when he did, he also oversaw the aircraft operations. By doing so, Charles was a part of all aspects of aircraft operations and maintenance. Sir Charles also helped build what we know today and design the aircraft hangar. The Wright brothers knew they couldn't fly without Charles Taylor. Like the Wright brothers, Southwest Airlines knows and appreciates what our mechanics, our engineers, and employees do for us. So that's why we're here today, to honor Mr. Taylor and to honor the pioneer of airline mechanics throughout the world.
The next speaker is our Executive Vice President and Chief of Operations, Mike Van
Deven. It's good to be with you guys. Thanks, Jim. Well, Charles Taylor was recognized as world over as a pioneer, and it's fitting today that the Charles E. Taylor Master Mechanic Award recognizes the lifetime achievements of senior mechanics. So the recipients are nominated by three separate individuals, and those nomination letters are sent to the FAA, and the records of the nominees are checked. So we're honored today to have with us three retired Southwest Airlines employees who have received the Charles E. Taylor Master Mechanic Award, and I'd like to take a moment to introduce them to you and recognize them. First, Mr. Jim Crockett, 2007 award winner. Second, Mr. Reagan Rogers, 1998 award recipient. And Mr. Dick Frenier, the 2004 award recipient. Southwest Airlines also has two other award winners that are no longer with us, but they remain in our hearts. Mr. William Gowan and Mr. Jack Vidal, who was the original Vice President of Maintenance, Southwest employee number 4.
The last speaker and presenter is Chief Executive Officer Gary Kelly.
Well, I'll just add my thanks to what everybody else has already said, and thank you all for being here. This is a great day, and congratulations to you three fellows. I think we're all in awe of the example that you represent, and I'm a little jealous because I don't think I'll ever win the Charles E. Taylor Award, But what great examples you guys are for all of us here at Southwest Airlines. So thanks for all you've done. You all know that there is no company or no airline that's more passionate about safety than Southwest Airlines. And we've got a 37-year track record and a 37-year history that attest to that. And clearly we owe our safety record to all 34,000 employees at Southwest Airlines. Everybody plays a very important role with keeping the airline safe every single day. But of course, it's right here in our maintenance and engineering department and our mechanics that are the foundation of our safety culture. And clearly, the job that you all do is critical to the safe operations. You're all responsible for ensuring that every plane is ready for flight from nose to tail, from winglet tip to winglet tip. You're responsible for keeping our fleet in the air every day. You've got a very tough job, but you're really tough folks. But you guys do it very, very well, and you work fervently and tirelessly to produce the highest quality results. And I'm very, very proud of all of our maintenance and engineering employees. So let's just take a minute and give you guys a great hand. Now, you may have noticed that there's a special guest in the hangar today, and I do want you to take a look at this beautiful airplane behind us. And as Jim and Mike and Colleen have all said, we're here today to dedicate this airplane to the man that founded aviation maintenance. Charles E. Taylor deserves to be recognized as a pioneer in aviation. And of course, you may notice the tail number. It's a little different than the normal tail in our fleet. It's N289CT, and this aircraft was named in honor, of course, of Charles Taylor when it was brought into our fleet a year ago. But today, we're going to take it one step further. So in honor of all of our maintenance and engineering employees, I'm happy to present to you all the Charles E. Taylor plane.
The plane is our standard livery aircraft of Canyon Blue and, of course, a red belly. Anyway, there is a logo on both sides of the aircraft just below the cockpit windows with Charles Taylor's image, his lifespan, 1865 to 1956, and the words, "Saluting Aviation's First Mechanic." Now, I'll put a picture of the image in the blog associated with this podcast, or if you'd like, you can switch over to the video blog area and see footage from the event. Like a lot of guys, I wonder about all things mechanical. And before the event was over, I spoke once again to Master Mechanic Reagan Rogers about just that.
Does this aircraft, the 700, have more or less than like 10,000 horsepower?
Has more.
Well, see, I looked on the internet, and you know everything on the internet's true. So it says that you can't measure jet engines with horsepower.
Not exact, but it gives you about the same amount of power. You got to develop a scale for amount of power that anything develops. Basically, what it is moving 1 pound, 1 inch, how much power it's going to take to do that. And so you don't get a true conversion, but it's...
So that's what thrust is, moving 1 pound, 1 inch?
Well, horsepower is, but thrust is basically the same thing. You got to move weight a certain distance to measure the amount of power it's got. And you take thrust, and thrust really is not all push, as most people think. You develop more power from the fans sucking the air out from in front of the engine than you do what you got going out the back. Because your exhaust accounts for only 30% of your power, your fan counts for 70%.
Really? So a plane, more than half, is being sucked through the way.
It sucks its way through the air. That's why a jet... You can, a small amount of power can hold it back from moving. But yet, once it gets to moving, it develops its power.
So, anyway, if you have an opinion on converting thrust to horsepower, please, please post about it. I found a website that had a formula, but it has all sorts of disclaimers, and the bottom line was that it was only accurate for like a given moment, and you know, don't try this at home, that kind of stuff. Well, that does it from this historic episode of Red Belly Radio. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company, and this episode is copyrighted 2008. For all of the Southwest Maintenance employees, thank you for listening.